From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 8th day of April, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, FDA wants to delay the implementation of new livestock feeding rules that are supposed to head off bovine spongiform encephalitis. USDA is boosting aid to children and farmers in developing countries, and the first grain swaps were executed in Chicago yesterday. It was a slow start. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City about the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the nearby May wheat. Contract settled at $5.32, down 7.75. July futures for the soft red, the harvest month at 5.43.75 in Chicago, 8 cents lower, and the September at 5.70.5, down 7 cents for the September soft red winter wheat. Hard red winter wheat finished the July contract in Kansas City, 11 cents lower at $5.89.75. May corn in Chicago up 0.75 cents to settle at $3.97 a bushel. July at 4.06.75, up a quarter. September 4.16.25, a quarter higher. And December futures at $4.27.75. New crop finished a quarter higher. The March 2010 contract a half cent lower at $4.38.5 a bushel. May soybean futures at $10.06 on a settlement price up 16.5. July up 13.5 at $10.05. And August soybeans $9.77, up 12 for the day. September futures $9.41, 10 cents higher. November soybeans up 7.5 at $9.16. May bean meal at $3.12.30, up $6.10. July at $3.07.50, up $5.30. May oil $34.99, 15 cents higher, and the July at $35.27, up 15. April live cattle down 22.5 to settle at $86 and a nickel. The June at $83.77.5, up 2.5. April feeders at $96.57.5, up 35, and lean hogs down 80 cents at $58.37.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures settled today at $49.38 a barrel, down 23 cents, or rather up 23 cents for the day. June at $52.07, up 16 cents. May ethanol at $1.57.5. Just about 5/10 of a cent higher. Natural gas for the day at $3.63 3/10, up 7 cents and a tenth. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.44 7/10, down 1 2/10. Heating and oil futures at $1.40 4/10, a penny and 3/10 higher on the day. And the May propane just about a half cent lower at 64.5 cents. For the propane futures. Gold contract at $884.80 in the April, up $2.60. The Dow at $77.94, just about 5 points higher for the day. And the U.S. dollar at $85.36 is up 0.12 on the afternoon. The CRB index for the day at $223.28. is 0.38 higher for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. It's calling for clear to partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows will range from 27 in the northwestern part of Illinois to 38 in the south. Tomorrow in northern sections and central Indiana, mostly sunny. In the remainder of Illinois and in southern Indiana, increasing cloudiness, showers, isolated thunderstorms arriving from the southwest during the afternoon. Highs will range tomorrow from 45 near Lake Michigan to 66 in the far southern parts of Illinois. The active weather pattern will continue with frequent storm systems tracking across the region for the next 10 days to 2 weeks. We'll hear more about that from Drew Lerner later in the program when he joins us just after the bottom of the hour right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
From the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, I'm Todd Gleason. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, is on with us on this 8th day of April, Wednesday. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I want to start out with something a little different because I think it's unique. Relatively speaking, everybody's always asking about land sales in the Midwest. There was a big one that Westchester out of Champaign put together yesterday in Tennessee, an auction of, get this, 5,835 contiguous acres in Cumberland County. They had 34 bidders. One of them bought the whole chamille for $4.1 million. There were four tracks. That's an average of over $700 an acre. And that land was located about 60 miles from Knoxville. The tracks ranged in size from 240 to almost 3,000 acres. Featured premier land for mercantile timber, hunting, and recreation. And, of course, beautiful mountain views. So a land sale, big land sale in Tennessee yesterday, about $700 an acre. That would sound awfully cheap here in the Midwest for the Corn Belt, but not bad, I suppose, for that part of the world. Maybe we ought to talk about what's been happening in the rest of the world of agriculture and land and the value of corn and soybeans. What did you see in the marketplace today?
Well, the soybeans stole the show, and it was rather a weak close yesterday, clear across the trading floor. And in the night session, we started to see the shock paddles work and bring the soybean market back. And it worked in three ways. We saw the May gain on the July, and the May and July gain on the new crop. And it put in a pretty stellar performance. And we have seen the basis levels drop a little in Brazil. But the cheapest beans in the world and the most quality and the easiest transported beans in the world come right out of the U.S., either the West Coast or Gulf. And that's one reason why the Chinese continue to want to buy world soybeans out of the U.S. The Argentine farmer is mad at the Argentine government, and the Argentine farmer feels that there's going to be a lot of inflation, and they're strong holders of basically two crops of beans. They've had some weather problems, and the rumor is their yields have dropped off considerably, and there's all kinds of guesses what those yields are, but the general feeling is they're disappointing. So the soybean market is the name of the game, and I'm sure in several elevators in central Illinois we'll see a $10 bid on cash soybeans tonight for sale.
Will there be any reason for producers to think about opening their bins up here in the U.S. and letting cash soybeans go at $10?
Well, some of the people that have beans stored at the elevator want their storage paid for, Todd, and mm-hmm. that might happen as well. But the market is extremely strong, and never say that, I won't say today that that can't happen, that we could see higher prices. The general feeling is that the soybean demand to China is good to excellent. Their livestock industry obviously is in good shape, and they continue to bid for the soybeans. My general impression is that farmers should reward the soybeans to some extent at that magic $10 mark, but that doesn't discount they can't go higher.
Well, they'll reward it for cash beans on hand, the old crop, on the idea that there will be fewer beans on the marketplace for one of two reasons. Either the Argentine producers simply aren't going to let them go, or they don't have them to let go, maybe both, given the drought conditions there and what we don't know about their crop yet. But that would put some pressure on the marketplace to build in premium for new crop as well. Are you more hopeful for new crop beans?
Well, you know, I think the $9 mark is a logical area to at least reward the market there. But we do have a supply-demand report coming out on Thursday, and the general impression is the government's going to cut the carryover. And if the present trend of exports continue, basically we'll have no beans in the carryover at the end of the year. But as we all know, the market goes into some unusual pricing mechanism called price rationing and price discovery, and that's why everyone should have offers in both on old and new crop and reward the market if they're pleased with the price.
What do you think that number will look like tomorrow morning?
Well, the general impression is that we could see the carryover drop possibly 10 million bushels in beans somewhere in that 170 area. 169 is the average guess, 697 on wheat, and 1731 on corn. All of them are smaller numbers, and the 169, of course, is a bright spot in the pricing mechanism at the futures market.
Well, if that number comes true on the soybeans, would you be friendlier to the soybean market than you are today?
I think we have to realize that there is the possibility that beans can go high. Are we looking at a $14 bean or something like that? You know, no, I'm not. And we have a lot of substitutes like lysine from corn. We
right.
do have a problem with the livestock industry as far as profitability. And at some point in time, the Argentine farmer is going to sell beans. But it does augur well to the soybean market. And even if we have another million or 2 acres planted in the Midwest or in the U.S., we'll have some pretty decent prices in the soybean complex to the November time frame.
And well, then it would be okay to say that you're neutral to marketplace and take advantage of rallies in the
you
beans.
Bet. All you
right.
bet.
How about with corn?
Corn, you know, we still think $4 old crop corn needed to be moved. The corn is suffering from a lack of exports. Feed demand, you know, is so-so. And we need a little boost from the renewable energy with higher blending rates to encourage price levels there. I think the big factor is, of course, the wet weather. My private meteorologist says better weather after April 22nd. I think the big problem here is that we have a big supply of corn, and this carryover somewhere in this 1.7 area is adequate, and we really don't need a $5 bid on the board at this time.
Thanks much for joining us.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Remember, there is no trade this week on Friday at the Chicago Board of Trade. We'll air during this program instead our weekly flagship program. It's called Commodity Week. Our guest this week is John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. He'll join us tomorrow afternoon for recording that program, live to tape, that is, at 4:30. And we'll post it also to our website at willag.org about 6 o'clock on Thursday night. You can hear it right here at this time on Friday on all of these radio stations if you'd like. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
In agricultural news, the Food and Drug Administration says it wants to delay implementing new cattle feed restrictions that are aimed at preventing the spread of mad cow disease because some in the livestock and meat industries will not be able to comply with the restrictions before they are made law. The restrictions are scheduled for implementation on April 27th, but the FDA would like to push that date back to June 26th. 18 senators in a March 2nd letter to the FDA said many in the agricultural industry are concerned that the final rule will be implemented without regard to viable alternatives for safe, economical disposal of deceased livestock. Two U.S. poultry groups have filed suit in federal court challenging certain aspects of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's regulations on water pollution discharges from confined animal feeding operations. The National Chicken Council and U.S. Poultry and Egg Association will argue that Congress did not intend to regulate these normal agricultural practices when it enacted the Clean Water Act. USDA is boosting global direct food aid for children while also increasing its commitment to help farmers in developing nations. USDA will buy an additional 51,700 tons of commodities to distribute to some of the nation's poorest countries in Africa. USDA will also double its aid to $1 billion to help developing countries boost domestic agriculture. The first exchange-cleared swaps for grain commodities got off to a slow start yesterday. The Chicago Board of Trade's parent company, the CME Group, said a total of 35 over-the-counter calendar swaps for corn, 5 for settlement against Chicago Board of Trade July corn futures, and 30 against the December were registered for clearing on Monday. There were no corn basis swaps brought to CME by over-the-counter traders for clearing on day one. USDA has released $17 million to state and local organizations to offer more low-interest loans for land, capital, and operating expenses to those who qualify under USDA's Beginning Farmer and Rancher Development Program. Farmers and ranchers in the program will be able to access more resources such as mentoring and technical assistance. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. We'll record that second program early because, of course, it's Good Friday this week and the trade is closed, though you can hear Commodity Week during this time slot on Friday. We'll put it together so it fits. And you can hear it over the weekend or on our website at willag.org. Our guest this week is one of our favorites, John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. He's not only a trader, he's also a farmer. We'll hear what John's already put into the ground in Memphis and those surrounding areas. That's all on Commodity Week. You can hear it at willag.org. After 6 o'clock on Thursday evening of this week. Now, up next, the latest reports from the United States Department of Agriculture point to a better scenario for the price of wheat. I'll have more on the numbers and why they should be friendly to the marketplace over time. USDA's prospective plantings report shows farmers in this nation will sow about 4.5 million fewer wheat acres for harvest this season than last. 75% of that reduction comes from winter wheat, and it spells better news for the price of wheat across the board, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good.
I think you can kind of frame a pretty friendly scenario there with obviously sharp reduction in winter wheat seedings here in the U.S., particularly soft red winter wheat. Unlikely that the world is going to be able to repeat the record level of production that we saw last year. And if, in fact, we are seeing some bottoming in the general economic situation, I think wheat has some upside potential, and particularly a soft red winter wheat basis probably has some potential.
Potential, if not in the actual price of wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, but in the cash price farmers receive for their bounty.
A year ago, I was just looking at the numbers of harvest bids late March a year ago. We were running $2.25 under futures. Today we're about 85 cents under on new crop bids. That's still weak by historic standards, but obviously a pretty good improvement. And I would look for that perhaps some continued gradual improvement in the soft red winter wheat basis because of a much smaller crop and opportunities now to start picking away at our inventory of soft red winter wheat.
This does not mean that Darrell Good believes the convergence problems, which continue to plague the soft red winter wheat contracts at the Board of Trade, have been corrected. It's just improved some.
I'm not optimistic that we're going to see convergence. you know, we've now seen very good convergence in the corn and soybean markets, really beginning with the January soybean contract and continuing through March. And you would have to guess that May is going to converge very nicely, not so on wheat. Now we'll see with the increase in the storage rates that come into place beginning with the July contract. I would guess that that's going to help the convergence. I don't think the addition of the delivery points will, because those have been defined as kind of safety valve delivery locations, and they've been priced so that we really would not expect delivery to take place at those locations.
The U of I ag economist believes a fundamental problem remains in the soft red winter wheat delivery system, and that eventually the whole of the delivery location system for that contract will need to be overhauled. When a futures contract on an exchange goes through expiration, its price is supposed to very nearly be the same as the actual cash price at delivery points. An 85-cent spread is not close enough, or even considered in the neighborhood of close. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, is with us. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Afternoon, Todd.
Farmers anxious there?
They are. They are ready to get going. Now, most guys have pretty much got the corn that they wanted to be get moved here before harvest. Today, with the beans being up, we did buy probably our last amount. The guys who didn't get $10 cash beans locked in last go-around got it done here today, and it seems like guys are pretty well firmed up and now are ready to look towards the field and get that hammered away.
What was your bid on the day for soybean then?
The processors have perked up here. Beans here, we finished the day at the elevator, 10.01, but the processors in our area are probably a good 7 to 10 cents higher than that, depending on if you go east to west of us.
So there's an over there in the May bean, or in that basis bid then?
Yeah, the processors are anywhere probably from option to 7-8 over here.
You think that's the right thing for producers to go ahead and do and sell a few beans at the 10 buck and above level?
I do. I think if you got some old beans, you know, those are profitable levels for what you could grow last year, and might as well get those $10 beans sold here.
And what are your bids for the day?
Right now, Climbers corn $3.92, and like I said, Delphi beans $10.10.
And your expectations for the corn basis very quickly?
Basis seems to be ratcheting up here. We did take our corn bids at the rail house up a penny here. Our processor bids, I think, will also, as we get through the last half of April, will also probably uptick 2 to 3 cents here as we go forward.
Thanks much, Matt.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on a Wednesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Empanada Day. Empanadas are made by folding a thick circular-shaped dough patty over a stuffing, creating its typical semicircular shape. Pastry is the traditional Latin version of the U.S. Hot Pocket. On this day in agricultural history in 1862, John D. Lindy of Philadelphia patented the first aerosol dispenser. In 1873, Alfred Perif received a patent for the first commercially viable margarine manufacturing process. but he was a little too successful. When margarine sales threatened butter sales, state and federal officials levied taxes on margarine. In 1879, the Echo Farms Dairy of New York began selling milk in glass bottles, the first time that ever happened in the U.S. In 1898, the first U.S. College of Forestry was created at Cornell University. In 1911, Melvin Calvin was born. Calvin was an American biochemist who discovered how carbon dioxide is absorbed into green plants and its conversion into carbohydrates and other organic compounds. And in 1992, Benjamin Eisenstadt died. He invented the artificial sweetener Sweetenlow. When saccharin became popular in the 1950s, it was originally only available as a liquid or as tiny pills. Eisenstadt mixed saccharin with dextrose to create saccharin in a packet form. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City is with us. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest.
Well, it looks like it's going to rain some more, and it's just going to rain and rain and rain. It looks like a fairly fast succession of storm systems is expected to march across the region as we go through this next 10-day period. The precipitation amounts may not be all that impressive, but the frequency will be just enough while temperatures are mild to limit the amount of drying we'll have between storm systems. And because of that, of course, we aren't going to get a lot of field work done. Now, a little bit of field work will occur in those few lucky areas that don't get that much moisture and do manage to get some full sun after the storm systems pass by. So I don't want to imply there's absolutely no chance for any kind of field work, but our progress will definitely be behind the five-year average with the way things are right now. And actually, the second week of the two-week forecast looks pretty similar. So I think we're going to probably get through the next 2 weeks with not a great deal of field progress, and that's really nothing new. I think we've all recognized that the wet pattern is with us for right now.
Is this a pattern that's Corn Belt-wide?
No. Actually, the northern part of the Corn Belt is not experiencing this wet weather bias right now. But, of course, they have their own problems up there, especially in the northwest Corn Belt where the Red River is. That's where all that flooding's been taking place since a few weeks ago. And we have a lot of snow up there on the ground that is still melting at this point, and that's going to add an additional runoff to the rivers up there and probably have some new cresting take place over the next week. So field work up that way will possibly take place if we can warm the soil enough in those areas that are not involved with the flooding. But that isn't very there's not a lot of real estate up there that qualifies for that. And most of the planting, of course, in the northern Midwest occurs a little later in the spring. Unfortunately, a little later in the spring is going to shift this pattern northward, and we may have some problems with the frequent precipitation showing up in those areas that are doing relatively well right now.
So southern Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, parts of Nebraska all are currently under that wet repeating regime, though?
Well, maybe a little bit to the south of that. It'd be Kansas, parts of Nebraska through southern Iowa, and portions of Missouri over to Michigan and Ohio.
Oh, so that's what I was trying to get at. So that heart of the Corn Belt region in Iowa from Des Moines northward, kind of a triangle in there, where they raise a lot of really good corn, where do they stand at this point?
Well, I think that they are going to get by okay with a little less significant amount of precipitation for a while. But as we go deeper into the late April, early May period, they will get involved with the more frequent, more significant rains, and that's going to create problems for them that will probably be a little more persistent than those in the Ohio River Basin.
Covers the Corn Belt. What about the hard red winter wheat growing regions?
We had the significant freeze this week that caused some damage to the crop. What we've got right now in front of us is a little wet weather bias for them, too, and some mild temperatures, and that's a perfect scenario for helping this crop recover from the freeze. We may see some new tillering take place in some areas, and that may actually help to restore some of the production potential. So I don't think it's a done deal there, and certainly the damage was not as significant in wheat country as it was in 2007 by any means, and the losses are probably going to only be small relative to the overall crop there.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.